It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is the weekend that's been circled in college football for quite some time. Just good game after good game stacked on top of each other. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We have so much NFL to get to in a bit. We got a 49ers versus Seahawks tonight. But Pearl, let's pause on college because we've got the Red River rivalry this weekend, or as you like to call it, the
Red River rivalry.
We also have Oregon hosting Ohio State. We've got Penn State traveling to USC. We've got Alabama trying to get off the mat. Welcome to South Carolina. Ole Miss LSU is the other one.
K-State Colorado.
And K-State Colorado. Again, it's just like the hits keep coming all weekend, all college football weekend. So Saturday primarily is going to be awesome. So here's the question for you.
Yeah.
Which head coach is feeling the most pressure heading into this weekend?
Okay, it's a bit of an anomaly because we know James Franklin, the Penn State coach, does very poorly in big games. He's terrible against Ohio State and Michigan. He's terrible against top 10 teams, and USC is not that. USC obviously has been disappointing this year, but I feel like this is a high-profile game because it's, in a way, one of the first. They've already had another Big Ten game, but this feels like the first USC home Big Ten game, and if James Franklin loses this one, I think everyone's going to see it, and it's going to look really bad for the Penn State coach. They're all the way up to number four now, so the expectations just keep on rising, and this sort of stigma that he can't win the big game is not going to go away. It's just going to get worse if he loses this. Honestly, this is not an excuse, but if you lose to Ohio State this year, Ohio State's got basically an NFL team. That's okay. You can't lose to a USC team that just lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, you're right. So Penn State is favored by four in this game.
Yeah, that's a close game.
I know. The record has not been kind to teams that are traveling more than two time zones, and I think that's playing into it.
Yeah, also, too, the big game thing with James Franklin. Like, this is going to be tough. You go, I don't even know where you fly out of. What was the story?
They had to drive to somewhere else. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You cannot leave from State College because apparently the runway is not long enough for a plane that big to get all the way to California with all the players, equipment, all that stuff.
Well, we know that story here in New York. There's two airports. One of them only one flies to California. You need a real airport. I'm surprised Harrisburg. You go direct from Harrisburg to LA.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a travel agent, but that's what he said.
Because I think you could connect in Chicago, or maybe you go through Cincinnati if you're flying Delta. Anyway, go ahead.
So in that same vein, before I give you who I think is the head coach who's feeling the most pressure this weekend, so you're saying James Franklin because you're coming from East Coast to West Coast.
No, I'm saying because it's a big game.
It's a big game. Do you feel like, and you also said, because like this is the first time we're kind of seeing like the USC Penn State is this new world in the Big Ten that we're living in?
Except that we saw USC Michigan.
Right. But do you think that Dan Lanning is under a similar type of pressure, and not for the same reasons, but the idea that...
Yeah, West Coast team going to the Midwest.
Well, we're just... Well, they're...
Oh, well, they're in Oregon.
It's just... Everyone was wondering, how are you going to hold up in the Big Ten? And I think Oregon is the team that people believed would have no problems, right? Like, there could be... USC might have a problem. Washington might have a problem. These other teams might have a problem adjusting to life in the Big Ten, but not Oregon. Oregon's too good, the program's too deep, all that stuff, despite the fact that Washington was actually in the national title game last year. You know what I'm saying? If Oregon loses, you know, by two touchdowns or something,
yep,
how bad do you think that reflects on Lanning?
Not bad. I mean, Ohio, just look at Ohio State's roster. I think it's 10 times more pressure on Ryan Day. I don't even think it's close. Like, all the pressure... I think that's been the storyline I've been seeing. Like, Ohio State, like, they hadn't played anybody yet. What are they going to look like? Oregon's look kind of, let's be honest. You know, you bet on them against them a lot. They looked a little bit shaky. They don't look like last year, obviously. Different team than last year, which was really excellent. I think there's way more pressure. If you lose, there's no shame in losing to Ohio State, because you know everybody you're watching is going to be a first-round pick. So I actually don't think the pressure is huge there. I think there's more on Ohio State.
Okay, and Ohio State's favored by 3 in that game. If you're giving me somebody who is probably feeling the pressure this week the most, I think it's got to be Kalen DeBoer. Because you are coming off of a loss at Vanderbilt that no one saw coming, that has made Diego Pavia a star, that had your own team, you know, guys losing their minds basically on the field towards the end of the game. Like, you've now just suffered your first major upset as the head coach of Alabama. You welcome in South Carolina this week. You're a 21-point favorite. Kind of feels a little, I know they were on the road against Vandy, but they were, what, a 22.5-point favorite in that game? So you're a huge favorite in this game. You have to win this convincingly. You have to.
Wait, why? What's the difference? About the convincing part.
I think that people are going to start to have questions about Kalen DeBoer at Alabama if you, after an embarrassing loss like that, if you even just come out flat, I think people are going to start saying, uh-oh, because I don't know this is going to happen. I think that Alabama's going to be just chomping at the bit to get back on the field and really get after South Carolina. But if it's not... He doesn't have, like, Kirby Smart has got championships under his belt. He's got, you know, Georgia can look a little wobbly and either lose to Bama or can, you know, be a little bit shaky, and he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. I think Kalen DeBoer, for all the good stuff and all the positivity that he got for beating Georgia, if you lay another egg after losing to Vandy, people are going to say, you don't know how to handle success. And that's a crucial part of being the head coach of Alabama.
Yeah, I worry that... I actually have a different worry. Like, aren't you, they have this schedule coming up, right? Like, famously, Alabama's got all these ranked teams on their schedule. I was a little worried they'd be looking ahead and not take this game seriously.
Trap game.
But coming off Vanderbilt loss, you're not in a trap game situation, right? So you saying that makes me think, well, Kalen DeBoer better be on his P's and Q's.
Yeah, you're right. That would violate the technicalities of the trap game. You can't be coming off a loss for
which is good,
trap.
Because otherwise this would be a huge trap game, because that Tennessee game is gigantic.
So it's Tennessee the next weekend, Mizzou, and then LSU. And then Mercer, and then Oklahoma. So,
See, the thing, I don't think he needs... You're right. Narrative-wise, he probably does need to win convincingly, but as far as getting into the playoffs, like, I think that he... Basically, they can afford 2 losses, right? That's, I think, an important question. Like, how do we view Alabama? How do we talk about them? They are still, like, as long as Kalen DeBoer gets to 2 losses at the end, he's fine, right? Because we still think enough of them because they beat Georgia.
Definitely. I think that...
Got some room to play with.
I think the committee will say, we're going to judge you more on your best win than your worst loss, I think, because it's Alabama. I don't know if other programs get that benefit of the doubt.
I mean, Alabama, man, they might get in with 3 losses.
This the is committee, the power of Alabama.
Committee likes TV ratings.
They do. Can I give you another person? You mentioned James Franklin as a college coach feeling tons of pressure this weekend. How about on the other sideline, Lincoln Riley? I mean, you're coming off of a loss to Minnesota. my, how the shine has come off USC. You know, they start off the season with that big win against LSU. You lose a game in Michigan. That's forgivable to me. I know Michigan's no great shakes, but that's forgivable. It's on the road at the Big House. Then you lose to Minnesota. If you get blown out by Penn State, this is a guy who already, I don't want to say embattled, but I don't think the fan base is like gaga over him.
No, I almost felt like people have already given up on Lincoln Riley in a sense. Like he's under pressure because I think there's a lot of negativity around him. Let's flip the question. If they beat Penn State, does this make everything good for Lincoln Riley?
I think it goes a long way.
I don't even know. We were talking about like they're already pretty much pinned out of the conference title game. So there's no 12-team playoff for USC. I mean, they're not ranked. I almost feel like it's almost too late for Lincoln Riley. Could you give him a pass because he just lost his Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams?
No.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Would love to. Can't do it, though. EJ, do you have another coach who's feeling the most pressure this weekend?
I think Lane Kiffin needs to figure this out. Okay, like Ole Miss, I think this was a season where I had Jackson Dart winning the Heisman. I had Ole Miss in the Final Four. I had them win the SEC. And I don't think that it sounds crazy only because it's Ole Miss and it's Lane Kiffin, but not because of the names on the team, the expectations that they had in Mississippi. They cannot lose this game. I think if you lose this game, I think if you're Ole Miss, you probably say, all right, if you want to go to Florida, have at it, Hoss. Like, we're not really losing much here. I think if Lane Kiffin wants to really put any kind of stake in his legacy of what he's done as a head coach, they have to right this ship this week. They got to win a big game against another opponent that people respect. If they lose this week again, you're just going to say, this guy is a fraud. He's a guy that can beat up on bad teams. They're going to choke against some team that they should beat, and they're going to get blown up by Georgia and Alabama. It's just like wash, rinse, and repeat. It's going to be the same thing year in and year out. So if they lose LSU, I know it's on the road, going to Death Valley for a night game is, you know, as tough as it gets in college football. But they have to win this game. There is no ifs, ands, or buts.
I feel like it's going to be crazy whatever happens. Just like last year, it's going to be like 47-42. I almost feel like this game is going to come down to some kind of wild play at the end, right? So that, I wonder if there's a little less pressure on Lane Kiffin because he's another coach that we view through a certain lens. I don't know if people take him seriously to start with.
But I think he takes himself seriously, which is, I think, the problem. I think he wants people to believe that he's a big-time coach. I think he wants people to believe that he is on the par with Sarkisian, who's kind of like his, like, Goku to Vegeta, right? Like, they both won the USC staff.
But I think he's one of these
images of each other, but it seems like Sark is just blown right past him.
I think there's this class of college football coaches where we're like, well, he's an offensive genius, but he's not like a championship caliber, like Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin, those kind of guys. I feel like he's strongly in that category. If they don't do it this year, we'll be like, wow, we know Lane Kiffin has this amazing offense, but you're right. He's not like a serious coach like Nick Saban.
Well, I mean, because Lane's whole persona is a little like man-child-ish.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
He's got a little frat guy to him. And I think he likes that, you know, whether it's an act or whether it's real. But at least Lincoln Riley has been to the college football playoff when it was a lot harder to make back when he was at Oklahoma. Yeah. I don't know if they should be in the same category, but I get that you think they are.
I feel like they have a very similar vibe, too. Like, people don't think Lincoln Riley teams are tough. They think they're just awesome at offense. And I don't think that people think Ole Miss is tough and hard-nosed. Where, like, Nick Saban, even Kalen DeBoer, were like, well, that guy is a pretty serious dude.
Chuck is in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. He said, LSU smells blood.
This game is going to be amazing.
Does LSU, though, have the ability to put the nail in the coffin for somebody? Their defense is still not good.
And you want to talk about coaching moves. I mean, you know, how they handle late-game situations is just... That's also that. I mean, Perloff's right. This is going to be a great game, maybe for all the wrong reasons. There's going to be some poor decisions, some bad decision making on the field, on the coaching staff. This is why this is actually going to be fun, probably. Under the lights in Tiger Stadium, I mean, this doesn't get any better than this. Two chaotic teams, sign me up.
Yeah, last year was 55-49. Ole Miss beat Jaden Daniels in one of the worst defensive games I've ever seen.
I mean, how many people are even going to remember this game? By the time you have been tailgating for the last 2 days,
yeah,
drinking, eating, get to the game, it's like, what?
Yeah, and it better be. This is going to be worth staying up for. How are we doing Saturday? We have to actually talk about game management from our standpoint. there's a lot of energy to expel on a Saturday. I don't know. And you guys, is there going to be baseball or is that start Sunday for the Mets?
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. We're clear to baseball, thank goodness.
You're clear to baseball on Saturday. All the game fives are done Friday. I just think that I'm worried about energy-wise. Are we going to be able to do this? We're going to have to be warriors this weekend.
I mean, you got the 3 o'clock window. I mean, you're just going to have to muscle up. You know, you've got 3:30 is when you get Texas-Oklahoma. It's when you get Penn State-USC. And Notre Dame's also on at 3:30.
Oh, you got the Red River Rivalry at 3:30? Oh, boy.
Yep, that one's also at 3:30. 3:30 is when it's really going to kick in.
Yeah, and then you got a lot. Okay, so but noon is the South Carolina Alabama. There'll probably be something interesting at noon.
And also for our audience, I know there's a lot of Clemson people in our audience too.
Then is there a London game on Sunday? I mean, this might be.
Of course,
like,
there is.
Honestly, like, just send a note to your family saying, I love you, I miss you, I'll see you Monday. This is going to be that kind of weekend.
What is it? Jags are playing, I don't remember who their first opponent is. I have to look it up. But this begins the first of two games for Jacksonville.
Jags and Bears, Caleb Williams.
Actually, Maggie, yeah, you got the Bills-Jets on Monday night. You might as well just send a note saying, see you Tuesday to everybody in the house.
How about this? I have all of my college friends are coming to New York just by random. Some of my best friends, it's the first time we've all been together in 9 years because they all live in different cities.
Uh-oh.
And it's hard. You know, everyone's got kids, they got families, people living overseas. 9 years.
At a certain point, does the statute of limitations just end on like when you can hang out with me again? Like 9 years is a long time.
But we talk all the time.
Okay.
We've got our WhatsApp chain is lit.
You guys gonna rage? Like, what's the plan? Is it gonna relive the college days?
I the college days never stopped for some of these girls. Some of them are, you know, have families, and some of them just like kept the party going, and in an awesome way.
I hate it. It's a random thing. It's not that random, but have you guys ever seen the show Friends from College?
Yeah,
on Netflix.
I like that show.
I feel like this almost sounds a little.
There's
bit
no
like
guys.
This
is all girls. Okay. Yeah, that show is a great. Fred Savage. Keenan Michael Key, I mean, brilliant show.
One of the worst things Netflix has ever done. No one gave us one season of that.
Yeah, it was silly. But no, you're asking, are we going to relive the college days? College days never ended.
Oh, Maggie's going to be a puddle. Because, oh, this is crazy. And then you have like must-see games all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Baseball, you're going to have 7 screens going. We were talking the other day about different how you do multiple screens.
Yeah.
There's nobody like Maggie has like an iPad in one corner, like anything that can receive a signal from the outside will either have football or baseball in it.
You know, like, Maggie's got a beeper on her. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Just shoving her 5-year-old son out of the way. Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. The other fun part is that when you're a woman in this business, your friends don't actually really know what you do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're like, wait, you have to watch what now?
Yeah, so I gotta like, you know, I basically have a game on my phone while everyone's cheersing with like shots, and I'm like, whoa!
Is that a woman thing though? Because I feel like I feel like my Andre's always asking me, so what does your friend do again? I'm like, I don't know.
That's true. In this day and age, job titles are like, they're out there, man.
Totally.
Like, what do you do? It's like, I do big picture analysis for... Also, you talk about statute of limitations. How long before you can ask a friend, even a close one, what do you do for a living? Because I did have a friend like that. We were close. Like he could be my emergency contact. I could have been his. We were very, very good friends. No freaking clue what he did for a living. No clue.
That's weird.
You think so? Philanthropy, like nonprofit space, but it was always switching. I never really wanted to ask. Because it felt like it had gone too long.
I kind of know what all my friends do.
Really?
Do you guys not know what your friends do for a living?
I feel like I know one of them for sure, my close group. There's definitely one where it's kind of like up in the air.
Right. Okay.
I know some of the stuff he does, but there's no way that's all he does.
Right. It's not like the person is an accountant or a lawyer or... Right.
If you're an emergency room doctor, then I think we know.
Yeah, if you're a teacher, it's easy. Like, you're saying that that's not the easy labels anymore.
I think people do a lot of different things. And I was just having lunch with a friend recently who moved to Denver, Colorado. And she said that you don't even... When you ask somebody, what do you do? They are not referring to your line of work. when they say, when you ask somebody, what do you do there? It's like, do you mountain bike? Do you kayak? Are you a long distance runner? Are you a, it's like, what do you do in your leisure time?
That's Colorado. Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you meant like, what form of marijuana do you take?
Is that like... Are you vaping? Are you eating edibles? Yeah, that's the second conversation.
That's mean. Actually, I don't know if that's mean. Colorado probably wouldn't mind me saying that at all.
No.
All right. We need to. I'm telling you, let's not go into this weekend lightly. We need to plan the sleep out.
Suddenly nervous.
Yeah, no, you should be. I know how your life works. It's gonna be Sunday night. Our production call is gonna be like Maggie's gonna be like
six games.
She's gonna be like, cut me, coach, put me in. You're gonna be like a boxer in the corner.
Cut me, Mick. I'm seeing three of them out there. I'll punch the one in the middle. 855-212-4227. Coming up, we check in on the Cowboys. Don't move. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Lots of NFL storylines to get to. For that, we welcome in Jory Epstein, who is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports and someone we're big fans of, been reading a long time. Jory, thanks so much for the time today. How are you?
Maggie, Andrew, great to see you. I am doing well. How are y'all doing?
I mean, better than Robert Saleh, but aren't we all? I don't mean to make a joke and make light of it, but it's obviously the biggest topic this week. And only Aaron Rodgers, Jory, could get us parsing a Pat McAfee interview about did he know, was he shocked? You know, do you think that Rodgers played any role, implicit or explicit, about Saleh getting fired?
Right. Woody Johnson tells us on the phone the other day that this was not a conversation he was having with Aaron Rodgers. This was a decision he makes on his own. And Aaron Rodgers also says, yes, Woody called me on Monday night. But you know what? It is not his responsibility to tell me what he's thinking. It's inconsequential whether he knew when he called me Monday night that he was going to fire Saleh on Tuesday. I would say whether or not Rodgers told Woody Johnson he did not want Saleh to be the coach on that Monday night call, his actions for months now have said something. And so, look, if you are going to publicly disagree with your coach over and over again when you're a four-time MVP and you know the power that you have in the organization, that is going to impact your team owner, whether or not the final nail in the coffin is something that Aaron Rodgers did.
But I'm a little confused by all this. Like, Aaron Rodgers seems to be going over the top on how much he loves Robert Saleh. And why didn't he push to get him fired in the offseason if there were so many problems?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we've got a segment on the podcast I do with Yahoo called Two Things Can Be True at Once. And I think two things can be true here, which is that Aaron Rodgers might not have thought Robert Saleh was the best coach to lead the Jets to a deep playoff run. And also, he's really close with Robert Saleh's family, and particularly, as he told us yesterday, his son Adam, who he threw at that training camp. So I think part of this is also, okay, what did Robert Saleh want to do with offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett? The offense is not working. Hackett has had a lot of trouble for years now, both with Denver and the Jets. But Rodgers and Hackett, like, that's his guy. And so I think there's an element there, too.
Jory Epstein is joining us. She's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. On the field, forget all the drama off, but on the field, Jory, do you think that the Jets are a contender, a Super Bowl contender? What tier do you put them in?
I think Super Bowl contender is a little bit generous right now. I think a playoff contender, I mean, look, it's funny. They haven't been to the playoffs since the 2010 season. And so getting back to the playoffs, like, we can't call that an exact failure, even if it's not what they meant to do when they set out to get Aaron Rodgers and put this King's ransom for them. Like, this organization needs to get over the playoff hump. The problem is the defense was their best unit. Now they've got rid of their top defensive mind. Their next defensive mind is going to be managing game day responsibilities. And they still don't have a fix for their offense. And so I think until they really figure out what is wrong with this offense and how to get it consistently firing, how to consistently get a connection between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, I struggle to really think of them as a true playoff contender in a talented division, at least in some teams.
All right, Jory, I can give you a fix. I think everyone's talking about it. How about adding Davante Adams as a fix? Do you think the Jets are still the front runner to trade for Adams?
Yeah, it's a great question, Andrew. I loved the reports this week of, like, things have slowed down a little bit. And I'm just picturing that time when someone's telling Davante, like, hey, we're a little busy right now. HR isn't quite ready for you, but, like, next week we'll follow up with your application. I do think that the Jets are a front runner, but I think the problem is that you can say, what do the Jets want and what does Davante want? Yes, Davante would love to play with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers in New York, who he's played with before, or like Derek Carr in New Orleans. but neither of those teams are necessarily on the trajectory that he wants. And so I think that when I talk to people around the league, I keep hearing from different front office and coaches people that they think Devontae is going to want to go to a contender, both for the playoffs and also, look, he's got another deal he's trying to get if he doesn't get it before this deal. And so Baltimore is a team that keeps coming up when I talk to people around the league.
Interesting. Jory Epstein is joining us. Well, we talked to Larry Fitzgerald, not to name drop. We talked to Larry Fitzgerald earlier this week, who he said Baltimore is the scariest. He liked Buffalo, but he said Baltimore would be the scariest because with a running attack like that and then Devontae Adams getting a lot of one-on-ones, he could be deadly. Jory Epstein joining us, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. Jory, take the temperature of the Cowboys for us right now. Sky was falling after two losses, now after two wins with the Lions coming to town. Where do you see this? And the fact that the Cowboys have said they don't have enough money for Devontae Adams, are you even buying that?
Yeah, it's funny. I grew up in Dallas, so there's a lot of people in my family who ask me a lot of Cowboys questions. And my dad was asking me recently, well, like, but don't you think Devontae Adams will make this better? And I'm like, Dad, are the top two issues for the Cowboys are they can't run the ball and they can't stop the run, which stopping the run has been less of an issue than it was at the beginning of the season, but I wouldn't say it's fixed. I think that's more about the opponents they faced the last couple of weeks. If those are your top two issues, sure, Devontae Adams adds you another threat, but I don't think that that is your top problem. I think Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb need to figure that out. Now, do I think it helps because it takes a little bit of the pressure and the attention defensively off CeeDee? Yes. I don't think that that is what's in their best interest for this season, though, or for the seasons going forward. In terms of the pulse, what I think is helpful for the Cowboys is I wrote a story a couple weeks ago going into Thursday Night Football, basically looking at how the Cowboys overwhelmingly have had like massive swings in their games. So almost all of their games, they've either led by 14 plus points or trailed by 14 plus points. And it was really rare that when the Cowboys were in a close game, they would come back. And it was really rare that when they didn't have this big lead, which was in part because their pass rush was able to do more when they were ahead, among other things, and their offense was able to run more of the game plan. What I think is helpful for the Cowboys is the last 2 weeks against the Giants and then the Steelers, they really did have to pull out that game at the end in both of those games. And maybe the caliber of competition wasn't ultimately what they need to get over the playoff hump or get over the hump of a deep playoff run. But I do think there's something the team can take from having a type of win that they really had not seen often in recent years.
Jory, you look at the NFC, now that the Niners are struggling, it feels more open. I think the team to beat is coming to Dallas this weekend in Detroit. Who's your favorite in the NFC?
Okay, I know that we don't want to get too high on a team early in the season, but I was doing research also on the 5-0 teams. 17 of the 19 teams who went 5-0 to start the season in the decade before this year went on to make the playoffs. The last two NFC champions, San Francisco last year and Philly the year before, started the season 5-0. I think you can get to 3-0 on the season and have it be like a little bit of a fluke. You're a good team, but not a great team, but you got an easy season. You got a good break with injuries. I don't think you can get to 5-0 on a fluke. And so I think that until the Minnesota Vikings show us otherwise, why do we think the Lions are better than the Vikings? I think this year, look at what the Vikings have done defensively, what Brian Flores has said to a lot of good quarterbacks. I'm still going with the Vikings for now.
Jory Epstein joining us. Last one from me, Jory, and you got a game tonight, obviously, San Francisco and Seattle. You know, all of a sudden after two blown leads, here's San Francisco 0-2 in the division. How big is this game for them?
This game is huge for San Francisco, and I think that's why I think that they're ultimately going to be able to overcome this. I think that, yeah, Seattle might be a little bit healthier, but this is a division game. This means that Kyle Shanahan knows his opponent so well, even if it's a new coach on the other side of the ball. I do think that San Francisco needs this more than Seattle needs it. They need it to figure out what they can do to get back to what they're doing relative to expectations, and I think that they're going to be more fired up, figure out a way to win, and ultimately this will be a San Francisco game.
Jory, you should have your dad text me. I think I would have been more receptive to the Devontae Adams take. I keep watching the Cowboys. I say this to Maggie all the time. I'm like, all in. Why is it Derrick Henry there? And you, no team needs Devontae Adams more than the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. My dad told me the other day. He's like, but don't you see what Derrick Henry did for Baltimore? Do you see what he could have done for Dallas? And I'm like, look, you could convince me of that one, Dad, because it is a fantastic player at the position of need. I don't know that, like, Devontae is not the top position of need. They just paid CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. But I do agree with you. If it was this season and nothing else, yes, Devontae makes you a better team.
Jory, don't let Perloff talk to your dad on text. No, Perloff's a Philadelphia Eagles fan. No. Your dad doesn't need that kind of aggravation. I'm sure he's a nice guy. You don't want McClellan coming around to say, chalk trash.
No, Jory, I'll give you, my dad can text you because he complains about Jalen Hurts all day long. So you take my dad's Jalen Hurts text. And right, I'll take yours, Dad. Cowboys text.
I think that's a fair trade off. Maggie, would you like to add any family members?
Well, she's a Bills fan. No, you don't.
I got
want,
my own problems.
You don't want
Jory.
Any of that smoke, Jory. Just stay away. Stay far away.
I'm liable to light myself on fire and throw myself through a table. It's not a safe here.
I will be seeing your Bills on Monday night when they come here to play the Jets, and I think that's a super interesting game, especially given that whether or not the Jets ultimately figure it out this season, we often see teams have that shot of adrenaline, that shot of urgency right after a head coach is fired, which, again, it's weird to fire a coach at 2-3. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what the Jets
Jury, you're not helping.
Those.
You're just,
I know.
Maggie's already stressed out enough about the game. See, like, yeah.
I'm going to crawl into
you gotta tell, Jury, start telling people what they want to hear.
I'm just going to go be quiet and think to myself in a meditative state in the corner for a little bit. Jory Epstein, senior NFL writer for Yahoo. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the weekend.
Maggie, Andrew, great to talk to you. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate that. I like the idea of you guys switching dads.
We all know this. I mean, I know you guys get it too. The dad text on a Sunday, there's nothing better. It's like, we blew it again. I didn't even call my dad last night. I was like, I can't do that with the Phillies. Like,
it's too raw.
It's not.
Let a day go by.
My dad power ranks. He's really into the Eagles, really into the Sixers. He has resigned on the Phillies. He's the idiot who takes a Sixers seriously. He's like, I can't believe we lost game 6 or whatever. I'm like, Dad.
This is death and taxes.
You're like a child who like will not stop touching the hot stove. Why are you doing that?
I was going to ask you about that because I feel like I know my dad. I think there's only one team where you'll get all the negative attention for. Because like for my dad's Knicks. Like,
yeah, your dad only has so much bandwidth.
Like, he loves the Jets and like he'll say, oh, Jets are playing well. And if they lose, I just don't hear anything. Yankees, same thing. Yankees, and then nothing. If the Knicks are struggling or there's a bad move, I'm getting like threads of messages. I think every parent has one team that they're saying, let me text my daughter or son about how mad I am.
You have Uncle Wayne.
I've got Uncle Wayne.
And all Bills all day.
Yeah, it's usually if it's a bad loss, we're generally not talking until about Wednesday. Got to let it just sort of breathe for a second.
In all seriousness, like, you would not text him after a bad loss.
Why would I do that to him?
Well, just to commiserate.
No, we've got to wait for it to wear off a little bit. You know?
Just a little crazy.
We made a pact that we wouldn't let losses linger past Wednesday, so now that's kind of like, get it out of your system. This is our last little bit.
These are important. We ought to put together a rule book on how to deal, as a fan, how to deal with tough losses. Like, there's got to be, we need, I feel like kind of lost sometimes. Like, I'm like, I don't know, do I call my dad? Do I wear the Phillies hat today to show solidarity? I had no idea what to do.
Oh, yeah. I generally eat.
Bill Simmons does a long walk with the dog. That's what I do now.
Is that what you do?
It's good.
Our friend Chris McMonagle over from WFAN was one of my old producers when I was there, and he used to go sit in his laundry room.
Just quietly?
Just quietly. At the Yankees, they'd lose, and he's like, it's laundry room time. And you just sit in the laundry room by himself.
You know what? I do not. I have a bad habit. I think a lot of you guys, do you ever go to either, because your team lost or you lost a bad bet, do you ever go to Twitter and fire off something so angry and uncharacteristic?
That. Like, or I'm just like on social media hoping the score changes. It's like, I don't know, maybe I was dreaming. Maybe they actually won. I don't know. We're getting off rails.
Like last Sunday when I picked the Bills to win and when your coach blew that, I immediately went on Twitter and said, Sean McDermott must be fired right now.
it's not even your team. It was
I know.
Pick.
Like, but there's a bad beat is also a bad thing. Bogus, you wouldn't know anything about that.
Nope. No emotions.
They're all winners for Bogus.
I like how Maggie has a 4-day rule on bad games. The team's getting themselves for the next morning. They have like a 12-hour rule.
Pro athletes don't care. They need 10 minutes.
Uncle
and
Wayne gets
moved
at
on.
Least Wednesday.
Pros always say that. The players don't take losses nearly as hard as the fans because they're professionals and they got to prepare for another game.
Yeah, they actually have a say in the outcome of this thing.
Yes.
We just have to sit around and watch.
Like, they can't wallow. They actually have to start looking at tape like an hour later.
I can't tell you, I met this guy last night who was the husband of a woman who was getting honored, and he's a state Supreme Court judge.
Okay.
Fancy, right? up for election, all that stuff. He has a big military background, like impressive dude, does triathlons.
Show off.
I was like the way out of my depth on this conversation.
Can I offer you a milk pouch?
Like, so how about those Mets? He's like, actually, I don't watch sports. I find it to be a gigantic waste of time.
I was reading a book last night.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, when I was checking my 20th email address. No, whatever he was doing. Anyway, he was like, yeah, you know, I never really got into being a sports fan. I didn't understand why you'd ever wear another man's name on the back of your jersey. Why wouldn't you only want to wear your own man's name, your own name on the back of your jersey? And I had to look at him. I was like, Judge, that was always the plan for all of us. Of course, we all wanted to be wearing our own name, but we're not good enough at sports to be athletes.
I thought you were going, well, you could wear a Yankees Aaron Judge.
He wouldn't have even gotten it. Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten it.
But as a tennis player, your name was never on anything of yours, right? Because I remember getting my high school baseball jersey that said Bogish, and that was heavy.
Your high school baseball team had your name on it?
Yeah.
Ours actually just had our first names on the front.
Okay.
I would show up every year for basketball, and the bad backup center always get like, hey, Perloff, here, you're 53.
Classic number.
They don't put numbers on that. That means like you may or may not be sent down to JV. That's what 53 means.
All right, let's do a few headlines.
In the age of bat flips and slow trips around the bases, Francisco Lindor showed almost no emotion after his go-ahead grand slam last night against the Phillies. Here's his explanation.
The place is going nuts. I don't need to go nuts. We got to finish the job, and the job wasn't finished at that moment. So I'm just blessed to be the guy that drove him runs today.
They finished the job 4-1 with Edwin Diaz striking out Kyle Schwarber with two men on base. The Phillies season ending well shy of their World Series goals. So how do we change that, Bryce Harper?
It's got to be better. Got to finish the job. I mean, obviously, we got a great group of guys in here. Got a really good core. Just wasn't able to get the job done.
And it's Eagle season, so who cares?
No, that was a clown question, bro.
I have a question. You think that athletes turn the page quickly? Kyle Schwarber is the final out of the season.
Yeah.
How long do you think he thinks about that?
I think he goes home and he sleeps on his bed of $190 million. No, Schwarbs, you kidding me? He was probably hammered within 15 minutes of that game.
Hammered, I get. You want to make yourself forget, take the edge off.
I know. I do think professional athletes, because they have so much control, they view it differently. It's a profession. It's a job to them. It's not a job to us. We're not getting paid to be fans. We should be, because we're doing all the work.
The Mets now wait on the Padres and Dodgers. LA forcing a game 5 back at home tomorrow with an 8-0 rout in San Diego last night. The Dodgers didn't have an actual starting pitcher, so 8 relievers combined for the shutout. The Pods now haven't scored in 15 innings. It's 20 for the Guardians, now in a 2-1 hold of the Tigers after yesterday's 3-0 final in Detroit. It was a 3-2 Yankee win in Kansas City. That's a 2-1 series lead, courtesy of Giancarlo Stanton's tie-breaking solo homer, top 8. Now, if you've been watching this series, you have seen a lot of George Brett on TV, Yankee radio analyst Susan Waldman and her friends have seen enough.
A friend of mine said to me today about George Brett. We're seeing him on the screen. George Brett is getting more TV time than Taylor Swift did when she started going to Chiefs games. Every time I look up, George Brett is on television.
1-1.
You guys can swap father threads. I need the Susan Waldman baseball friend thread. Get me in on that.
What is going on with the George Brett hate? Did they take a whole inning to talk about George Brett last night, too? Is that what, again?
I don't think it was last night. Well, you and I were out last night, so it was a little tough. But I was listening to it on the radio on the way home, but it was Costas. So Costas is doing the game with Ron Darling, and he's one of the great broadcasters that we have. But he was very much in telling a lot of George Brett stories.
Yeah, I do think there was a George Brett interview, and I think what happened might have been like what happened with the Christian Yelich interview. It was a long inning. And instead of just going, okay, thanks, back to the booth, they just kept talking to him and barely showing the game.
Yeah.
That was last night, right?
Yeah, that was last night.
Yeah.
But he was also at Yankee Stadium in game 2 because they showed him cheering at some point, somebody scoring a run. So he's been all over the place and on TV. And P.S. Costas has been terrible.
Well, the other part is it doesn't just have to be a George Brett thing. Remember when the Monday Night Football guys brought Jason Kelce in the booth, and that's fine, but then they kept him for another segment. And it's like, we just didn't need that much.
I feel like George Brett's taken unnecessary shrapnel, though. Like, he didn't do anything.
No, he didn't do anything.
He said yes to an interview. Now the internet's crushing
him. George Brett. Yeah, great ball player.
Rafael Nadal will retire after
<Pintar.
laughs> playing for Spain in a Davis Cup final next month. He'll leave tennis with 22 major titles. His video announcement referenced his long list of recent injuries, saying he hasn't played without limitations in at least 2 years. And a pair of 6-0 wins on the second night of the NHL season. The Rangers getting one in Pittsburgh, the Jets in Edmonton. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you. Coming up, we got a pick for you for tonight's Thursday night football matchup, 49ers-Seahawks. It's Maggie and Pearl.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Dependable Player of the Week is sponsored by Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation, reminding you that health is a long game and screening for prostate cancer is easier than ever. Learn more at Depend.com. Wow, this seems obvious.
I know it is.
I mean, come on.
Did EJ pick this one? It doesn't matter. If Ryan picked it,
EJ who's wearing all orange and blue and a Mets hat, pick this one? I don't know.
The Dependable Player of the Week is Francisco Lindor.
Let's go, Maggie. The correct answer, Dependable Player of the Week, Francisco Lindor's Grand Slam. Put the Mets ahead for good. Mets beat the Phillies. Sending Bryce Harper and those bozos out to Cancun.
It must have been a hard choice for you because you might have also gone with another Pete Alonso, Beast of the Week. I don't know. Like, what other were there? Four Mets who were your top five? Anybody who was not a Met that you considered?
I mean, no. Number one, two, yes. Anybody who faced a Phillies bullpen arm or even Devin Williams probably was going to be picked because they just were crushing bullpens the last few weeks.
Oh my God. Such a great song. Anyway, let's
Devin Williams, the backup quarterback on Ohio State.
Yes.
Same guy. Oh, no, it's Devin Brown.
tonight's game, 49ers-Seahawks, Pearl. You've told us a little of how you think this thing is going to play out with the over-under.
Oh, I like San Francisco. As in this season, the whole NFL season has played out like the more desperate team has won. It's been that simple, right? Except for Cincinnati somehow lost.
I was going to say Cincinnati. I feel like Jacksonville lost a few where they were pretty desperate.
Yeah, but when you have the 0-3, because there's a lot of parity right now. So if you have a, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, Cincinnati's 1-4 and probably is the fifth best team in the entire NFL. I'm just saying that, like, there's a lot of wonkiness. I feel like San Francisco is desperate here.
Okay, even as a 3.5-point favorite, just from a betting perspective, to get the three still, and the hook. I know you think it's going to go over 49.5.
Yeah, I'll take the Niners. I feel like they've been a fluke. Now, who's this kicker that Ryan says that they signed?
Matthew Wright.
Matt Wright, huh?
Never heard of him. Should I have heard of him?
Yeah, well, you said that. You said it as if around. Like he was like Nick Folk. It does sound vaguely familiar. Okay.
To be honest, if you haven't heard of a kicker, though, that's probably a good thing because we've heard the ones that are bad.
I think I could, like, the Seahawks clearly have a problem, too. Like, just hand the darn ball to your running backs, like, all day long.
Well,
I don't know why
their offensive line was hurt for a little bit, too.
But why
is Geno
throwing, it's another one, why is he throwing 50 times a game? You have a great running back room.
Against the Giants, they were trailing. I get it. You don't want that to happen, but.
They that's the big narrative in Seattle, like. Really, it's got it. Kenneth Walker should be leading this team, and he's not yet.
So I'm going to just take the Seahawks plus the 3.5, just first of all to go against Perloff, but also because it's two desperate teams. I know Seattle has a winning record, but they just got embarrassed. I mean, they were a 7-point favorite against the Giants, who came in and let a rookie running back run all over you. Not just that, the Giants' pass rush got to Geno. He was taking some hits, you're right, because he was dropping back so much. He was like sitting duck back there, and Geno's pretty spry. So. I think that this is, give me a little Seattle. I'll take the points, and you're taking the over?
Well, it's pretty high. 49. I'll take the over, and I'll take them. By the way, so Seattle is definitely going to be without Reek Woolen. I think Byron Murphy's out, too.
Yep, he is.
I just think that those injuries, I don't think they're desperate, because they're like the Niners to be like, well, if we lose this game, we'll get fully together. I don't know when their bye is, but I think they're looking at the season as a long game, being like, we know we're hurt right now. We'll get healthy eventually. Also, there's something funny about the NFC West. Like, you really don't know what's going to happen in the fourth quarter of an NFC West game.
Oh, it's been amazing. So I'm going to go opposite you. I'm going to take the Seattle, and I'm going to take the under in this game. Quickly, do we think Devontae Adams is still a Raider by tomorrow? Because we're getting close here. Now, the hamstring, which I thought was definitely a phantom injury, may not be. I don't know if he'd even be able to play and suit up.
Wait, do we have any real information about whether... I know they keep saying the hamstring. Well, he's definitely not playing this week.
That's what they said.
Yeah, he's definitely not playing somewhere else next. I mean, if you trade for him now... If you're the Jets, that's
could you get him out there on Monday night?
No.
He knows
really?
Rodgers.
Wow, that's crazy.
If you think the hamstring's all alone, listen,
I
you
do.
Can't lie, because now with like betting and gambling, you don't want to, it's a little bit more monitored, but.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All old people like me and Devontae Adams have sore hamstrings. It's part of the game.
Yes, you and him, same. If he gets traded to the Jets, I think he's on the field Monday night.
That would be awesome.
He'd have to get traded today, though. And we had been hearing from insiders, both national insiders and maybe even a couple people in the building, who thought that it was happening this week. So here we are on Thursday.
You know, Jory Epstein was on the show earlier, said Baltimore. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the Jets don't want to have to sign, pressure to sign Devontae Adams long-term. They just went through a nightmare with Hassan Reddick. I think they're a little more afraid of this deal than you think.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about how the Hassan Reddick thing could be playing.
Yeah, I think
they traded
Devontae
for a guy who they thought they had a handshake deal with and never did.
I sense that Devontae Adams wants new money. And at that age, that's really scary to teams.
Yeah, I mean, and the hamstring injury is not making it any better. Now you got a guy who's on the plus side of 30.
We were going to lead the show with this topic. We never got to it. What's the other team that was in the news today with Devontae Adams?
Buffalo Bills, keeping an eye on the situation, monitoring.
Wait, why not sign with them and be out on the field by Monday night for them? No Shakir?
That would be amazing. I'm totally for it.
Make it happen. Make it happen.
More is more. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Ryan Botcher, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Jory Epstein, and Trista Crick. Weedos, coffee drinkers. You can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast wherever you get your pods. We'll see you here tomorrow. Finish out the week strong.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.